Hello and welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, the only podcast that's funny for everyone, where you get to hang out with some of your favorite dry bar comedians. I'm one of your hosts, Jordan Macon, and with me we got...
Taylor Nielsen.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you. As if I'm not always here.
Yo,
well, I'm not always all the way here, but I am...
Were you the same guy last week?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's probably because I got a bunch of Botox.
You are looking tight in the
Shiny.
Face.
Shiny? Yeah.
Can they Botox some color into your face?
It's every time they inject some in, it cancels out. They don't know what it is.
It absorbs it.
Yeah, I guess
that's how perfect light, like white light's like every color in a prism.
Exactly. They call me inoperably white.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
It's all right. Let's not dwell too much on my health conditions, because we've got a heck of a guest today.
So great
right
guest.
Over there. Let's jump to the clip and see who it is.
And our youngest son has autism. And I'll be honest with you, does not bother me at all that he has autism. No. It's the things that other people say that get on my nerves, because I'll get this from time to time. I was talking to this lady. Came up, he was autistic. First thing out of her mouth was, is he high functioning? As if that doesn't put me in an awkward spot. Because they never stop and think, what if he's not, before they ask that, you know? They just fire off a question at the top of the spectrum, then I got to figure out what to do with that. Is he high-functioning? Well, I wouldn't say that, Karen. But based off the social skills you've displayed in this conversation, I don't think you are either.
Well, folks, you saw who it was. He is special, happily frustrated, took the internet by storm, and he's here to join with us today, Pete Jr.
Glad to be here.
Pete
Glad to be
Jr.
back.
Yeah.
Glad to be back, gentlemen.
Which has a little explaining to do.
People are thinking, wait, I haven't seen Pete on here before.
You're our first repeat guest, but
that's right.
Nobody will ever see the first one.
A little audio issue.
We had such a good time, we deleted it on purpose.
Ooh,
just to bring you back.
I like that. I feel special now. Well, let me tell you that last time I was here, it was my birthday.
Yeah.
Well, that day is my anniversary. So you give me on special days only.
Whoa.
Goodness, oh, man. And then we're going to delete this one and make you come back on your child's birthday.
That's right.
We're sucking the life out of you, Pete.
This gives us a reason to hang out. I like it.
Great, man. Well, we just watched that clip.
Yep.
I think of that one as the one of my favorite zingers in comedy, when you really let that lady have it with the you're not high functioning thing. What are some, I'm just curious, as you know, a parent of someone with autism,
mm-hmm.
what are some things you wish people knew just in general about it?
Dude, the most common one right now is there's so many people who like self-diagnose, you know?
Yeah.
That because they're a little awkward, they're like, I'm like super autistic. It's like, okay, because my son, he's nonverbal. You know,
sure.
So he can barely say anything. You know, he's 10 now, but he, you know, operates probably like a 5-year-old level. You know what I mean? So it's like it's a very different experience for a lot of us. But like when people just kind of throw it out there willy nilly, a lot of people don't take it serious.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because they're like, oh, everybody claims to be autistic. It's like, no, there's like my son goes to a special school where it's only kids with autism. We put him in a regular school for a day, and as we drove away, like we were like, it's going to be fine, right? It was a disaster.
Yeah.
He bit a teacher, bit a kid, cried for an hour, passed out for an hour, banged his head off. I mean, it was just a train wreck. So it's a very different experience when you have, like, you know, and when people say, like, the high-functioning thing, it's like they want to give you an out. So you can be like, you know, like, oh, he's autistic. But, you know, it's like, I don't need that. It's almost like the person asking needs that more than I do. You know what I mean? It's like all you did with that question is just made it awkward. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. For me, it's my favorite topic right now with stand-up. But also, I'm one of these guys, I don't think you should be out there trying to change the world with stand-up. I mean, the number one has got to be funny. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
If you can put something on it that you're also passionate about, that's an extra sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one should be to be funny. But like, I don't know, just because that's the thing I've been the most interested in lately. That's been some of my best material, I think.
That's a common comment we get on the podcast. It's like, quit trying to change the world so much. Just be funny, right?
Yeah, specifically to Jordan.
Yeah, very altruistic. And, you know, I have a platform. I got to use it. And
Red Hair Head Awareness.
Red
is
Hair
an
Awareness
issue.
Month is coming up. And
But I do like, because if you watch a lot of those bits, and I have ones that aren't on the special that I really like. You know, one of them that's on the special too is like how people give you dirty look in the grocery store. Like my wife got that a lot. You know what I mean? And it's like, because they just assume you can't control your kid when it's like, you know, maybe there's something else going on. You know what I mean? So like, I think you will leave going like, oh, maybe I should maybe pump the brakes before I jump to conclusions. Like that feels good to think that maybe somebody's thinking that. But at the end of the day, you know, I just
to pause and not judge people so quickly because you don't know their situation or whatever. Jordan.
I was just thinking of that guy that kept commenting that he'd watch 2 seconds of our video and then stop watching. So I hope he will give us more of a chance.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Like, that's kind of the message here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't jump to the conclusions on these first impressions.
More than 2 seconds. I made it about me. Did we tell you about the comment? Someone just was commenting on consecutive podcasts saying, watch 2 seconds, not for me.
2 seconds.
I did not know that. But you know what that reminds me of? My son texted me the other day. Like, my son's at that age where he's like, he's starting to test the waters of busting chops. You know what I mean? So every now and then it'll kind of toe the line of like, sometimes it's like, oh, that was witty. Sometimes you're just like, ouch. He texted me the other day. He's like, hey, me and my friends fell asleep watching your special the other night. I was like, okay. That's appreciate. Got me.
Wow. Just out of the blue.
Yeah.
He
unsolicited
right in
text. I was like,
section.
All right.
That's funny.
Yeah. My son's like my number one troll. Like,
yeah.
You know what's funny? I don't read any of the comments on my special because like it doesn't matter. Like if you get multiple good ones, there's always that one.
Yeah.
But you know.
We were
you can't avoid
we
them with your son.
Yours beforehand, trying to find some really mean ones for you, and
we were appreciate they were fun. Anything.
No, they're actually very nice.
Really,
people love your stand up.
I heard some people who film specials before me. They're like, you know, I made the mistake of reading the comments where it's like, I was watching Shane Gillis talk on a podcast where he's like, it doesn't matter. Like you have multiple good ones. It's that one.
Yeah,
it's that one that'll get you. And it's like it doesn't matter if there was 19 good ones, that 20th bad one will just...
That's the one.
Yeah. So I've read zero comments on my special.
Yours are, you know, more positive than I expected, to be totally honest. I'm just kidding.
No, yeah, well, no, I guess the one really bad one's for my son. So that's fun.
You have a one that's similar, because we both did pandemic specials during the pandemic. And you have a one that was like, killed it, but this audience sucks type of thing. But I thought your audience was pretty good. But just because the laughs aren't as loud as other specials because they have full audiences.
Yeah, man. So
that's better than I understand why the laughter isn't loud.
I have done encore shows since where, you know, it's full to capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did one of them where they open the upper deck and then you're like, whoa. You know, like then, because a part of you thinks like, man, how to beat a film with this kind of crowd. But like, you know, like we talked before, the way I got my special was a total fluke. You know what I mean? Like, I got my special literally the day before I filmed it, where other people are flying in, planning for months. Like, I think I mentioned before there was a dude who flew in, not on the one I did, but I was on a show at the Wise Guys, and the guy was doing a guest spot before filming, especially flew in from New Zealand. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, people prepare for this for a long time.
Yeah.
Somebody got sick, the day before, I got a text saying, can you film a special tomorrow? I was like, let's do it. You know what I mean? So yeah, like, wow. it was middle of the pandemic. The max capacity was 50. I think that's what you had on yours too. And they spread them out. So it's like those conditions, I mean, that's as heavy a lift as you're going to get. But I just went into it being like, this is awesome. You know, like I'm shooting a special. How crazy is this? So despite the fact that was the kind of the conditions on the ground, I was pretty happy when I left. You know,
right?
You had a cup. You had one really crazy laugher. Do you?
I love that guy. I want him at every show.
There were
Did you ever meet him? Did you ever meet the guy?
I didn't meet the guy, but like, you know, as soon as I, because you pick that up right away, you're like, oh yeah,
yeah.
But his laughter was contagious, and like, because I felt like it took me a good 3 minutes to kind of hit that cruising altitude. But once we were there, we're there for the rest of the set.
No, you killed it.
And everybody, like, we had this good vibe going the whole time. But, like, it took just... It's not like they weren't laughing up front, but it's like, you know, it's just kind of that initial start to the set. You're kind of building your momentum.
Yeah.
But he helped, man. That guy got everybody on board.
You had some comments saying that guy was great.
He was, like, the best. He's the best.
And do we have a surprise for you? Because actually, all the way from Orem, Mr. Loud Laugh now.
I love it.
A few things we're trying to do on the podcast now is we will also want to ask you your worst or craziest gig that you've done. And we can, if you want some time to think about, we can circle back.
I need no time.
It's already...
I need no time. So I did this one. It was... I lived in Orange County for a while. And so, like, you know, they have what, you know, the Inland Empire, like, trying to think of some of the towns, like Riverside's one of them. But it was a show up in the Inland Empire. I can't remember which city, but it was out on a patio. And there was like a wall that was about this high. And it had a ceiling, but it was post. So you could just look out into the night, right?
Like,
you know what I mean? And there was a row down, or an aisle down the middle, and on one side you have people, another side you have people. This whole one side was deaf people. Do you know what I'm saying? So we were up there doing...
I think so.
We were up there doing our material, and there was a translator. So we would do our bit. This side would laugh. She'd translate. Then there was a delayed laugh on this side. And so it was like, it was weird to time it out. But as I was sitting back there waiting to go up, these two deaf guys were like signing at each other like really fast, like with like angry look on their face. And I was like, are they like getting into it? And this one dude stood, like one of the guys stood up and just went boom.
Whoa.
Decked one guy, the other guy off of the chair, and he fell on the ground and he was like signing like, what's up? And I was like, what is happening? And then the next guy after that happened, he was up there and there was these two British dudes. Like real like soccer fan hooligan, like kind of like brash guys just yelling, and they're yelling at this guy, and so the comic is yelling like firing back, and he had a couple of good zingers, but like these were not the guys to, you know what I'm saying? They got up and rushed the stage to like beat this guy up. He sprinted to the left, jumped over the wall and ran off into the night. And then they just kept doing the show and they were like, all right, next up. And then I was up and I was like, what is going on?
Was the translator translating all the British guys, the hecklers,
and I don't,
going back and forth?
I don't, dude, it was so chaotic, man. Like it was, you know, people are getting punched out. This guy's trying to knock this guy out. He's run off into the night. Now I got to, like, the whole thing was just bizarre.
So you got up after that?
I got up after that. Yeah, after all of that happened, and it was like coming to the state, like it was so weird. But
wow.
Did you get some laughs though? Or
I was getting like, dude, like in California, like the thing is like, you know, a lot of people move to California because they're like, you know, yeah, you got to go out there. That's where, you know, if you want to make it, get out there. There's so many bad shows. There's so much, like the mics are just brutal. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, like if you find a good one, you kind of keep it a secret because as soon as other comics realize like, oh, there's a good one, they'll ruin it for sure. Yeah. Like for sure. Like, so you just go to one bad, disastrous show after another. And it was like, yeah, man, it was rough. It was pretty rough.
Wow.
Yeah. I started to get on some decent shows, but like I had to power through a bunch of bad ones for sure.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the mics, there's no general audience. It's just other comics and they're not listening.
Yes.
They got their notebooks and they're just making notes. And you're like,
right.
But what are we doing?
Comics were so, we'll laugh when something is terrible.
Yeah.
Know? Like when something bombs, then we'll laugh. Yeah. So the only laughs you're getting are reinforcing bad behavior.
Yeah, man. It was pretty rough. Like, but I think that one was the most just bizarre.
That's a very memorable gig. To have a translator there is, I've gone to a couple shows with translators. but then to also have a fight break out and another fight, like that's just a lot happening at
yeah.
a comedy show.
Yeah, yeah. Two deaf guys getting into it. One freaking knocks the other clean off his seat. Then
two separate fights in a show.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
It was so weird, man.
The couples that I've done with translators have been pretty good, actually. I had one where the translator was on stage with me, and I've had others where there's a translator like off to the side of the stage. You ever done this with wise guys?
I've
been
so.
Wise guys, but it was kind of fun to play off. Like I would say things and then see what how she would like mime it out. And,
yeah.
Like, oh, that's embarrassing now.
I tell you what was cool though about that show, as bizarre as it was, is it was cool that like that community could come out and have a show because they were laughing, dude. Like they were like really having a good
that's
time
cool.
and those two weren't.
Just but the two.
But the rest of them were having a great time yeah, before it all yeah. went crazy. Like but no, it was cool. I was like, I never even thought about like, you know, yeah, I guess, you know, it's tough to go see a comedy show. So that's the only one I've done like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, the other question we want to ask is your first joke ever. Do you remember that?
I don't, but like I don't remember my first joke. I remember my first bomb. That's, I think we were talking about this before where it was so severe it took me 6 months to get back on stage. 6 months, and I would drive to the comedy club and go like, all right, get out of the car. We've been through this, and I'm like, I can't do it. And I would just turn around and drive home, and wow. then just went on for months, dude. Because that's it. Listen, man, like, if you want to get into stand-up, I mean, you guys know, like, you get that person that, like, you know, they bring everybody they know, and they're like, don't forget us when you're famous, and you're just like, dude, they think they're going to be famous in, like, 6 months. You know yep. what I mean? And it's like... You have to be prepared to like to bomb. Like, I mean, I don't know what a good ratio is for you guys. If I have 1 in 4 new jokes work, I'm like, I'm freaking killing it, man.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Like, I mean, a 1 in 4 ratio, which means, you know, you're having 3 just fail miserably.
Right.
And like, you know, our mic gets packed. So when you have a joke bomb in front of 150 people, that's the loneliest place in the world. You know what I mean? And like, and this is how psycho we are. You ever have a joke you've done, it's bombed, and then it bombed again, you're like, but I still believe in it. And you just keep mm-hmm. doing it. You're like, they don't get it, man. I mean, that's how psycho we are. Like, you have to be able to power through, like, you know, not all the new stuff is going to work.
Right.
And be totally fine with it, you know?
What's your ratio? Just curious.
Of bombing to not bomb? I mean, it's tough.
Of a new bit. Of
a
like,
new
when
bit?
You try a new
well,
bit.
I mean, I haven't done a new bit in like 2 years. But
doesn't matter. I'm just asking ratio.
On improv? Best. We're talking about, or you just
stand
back
up.
In the day.
Stand
well,
up.
Well, bombing on like real shows?
a lot more. Hard. I just want to know your ratio.
it's hard to think because I would always do pretty well at open mic. But it's because a lot of people... I was doing some more experimental, weird stuff.
Yes.
And people love that.
It was
that
the best,
mic.
Man.
But then you do that at a regular show and all these, you know, whoever's there.
Well.
It's just like, I'm not here to see whatever this is.
Okay.
Yeah. 1 in 72. That's
so that's, answer. That's it. So I'm a big believer in this, man. Like, I think your target should always be the front of the house, you know, which back of the house is comics. Front of the house is the general audience. Like
yeah. Yeah.
What happens is like, you know, and I don't think you did this, but like I think some people will try to like make their friends laugh.
Right.
And then they think like, you know, killed tonight. And then they get on a weekend show for the first time and you just see the look on their face like, what's happening? You know, because it's like the target should always be the people that are going to buy tickets, that are going to get babysitters, that are going to like, you know, it's their
yes.
date night. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and some people like, some people think like, oh, a joke about marriage that's so stock. It's like, or like about kids. It's like, dude, the majority of people out are going to be married. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. The majority of people who are coming out to show have kids. That's why Nate Bargatze is so great. I mean, he's brilliant, but it's like, you know, I just think, you know, making those, your target be the front of the house, people are going to buy the tickets. That should always be the goal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, those are going to be the people who are the least forgiving as well. Like the people that you know are going to be like rooting, you know, rooting for you for the most part. So
why'd
like,
you point at me? Oh, you thought...
Because you're rooting for me.
Oh, like when you do stand-up?
Maybe. Are you?
Have I seen you do stand-up? I'm just kidding. I was always rooting for you.
Thanks, Shirley.
I liked your comedy because you weren't really playing to the back of the room or the front of the room. Sorry, spit on that one.
Wow, that's pretty good. It's pretty good to have a spit take on your own joke when you're not even drinking anything. No.
It's important to be unique.
So narcissistic of me.
Well, let's get back to Pete. Let's get back to Pete here.
I'm sorry. I think we need to ask Pete, which we did a show together last week.
Yeah.
In Southern Utah. And the guy that ran the show could not wrap his mind around you being Pete and not Peter. And he introduced you as Peter Jr., which is so different for some reason.
You know,
Peter Jr.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, and I texted him. I was like, just, you know, he's like, just text me what to say. I'm like, sure. I try to keep it concise. That was a clunky. Nicest Peter guy Jr. in the world.
Oh, I love
nicest
him.
Guy in the world. But yeah, I think he paused when he saw Pete, and he's like, that doesn't look right.
Yeah,
like,
he must have meant Peter.
Yeah,
it was funny because he was like, so Pete, did you tell me what do you want me to say? And Pete's like, oh, I'll just mention like Dry Bar, Series 6M. He's like, did you write that down?
Yeah,
we're like, do you want me to write down?
Yeah. He was very adamant.
Yeah.
He was very adamant.
And still he called you Peter.
Mm.
Peter yeah. Jr.'s like, it's a totally different
Peter
person.
Peter Jr. Yeah, it's...
Peter Jr.
It feels weird. Okay. Peter
I assume
Jr.
your full name is Peter, right? Or is it just Peter?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm named after my dad. Like, it's a name that's been passed down through the family. And I've got nothing but boys. I've named none of them after me. And my dad was quite heartbroken.
Really?
Yeah, when he's like, so you're not passing the name down? I'm like, no, that's done.
So are you really like Peter the Fourth or something? Like how many generations?
Peter the Fourth might be a good stage name.
So my family, there was a famous beer company. It was the third largest beer in the United States. So when it was like the banners were up on the Yankees stadiums, like Whoa. There's a picture of Ronald Reagan drinking one, like it's in a Beastie Boys song. The founder, that's the name. And so it was passed down.
Pete, his name was Pete.
Yeah, but the full name. Oh, like, okay. But it was passed down. And so like there's like a lot of pride in the name.
Uh-huh.
But like for like kids, like when you're a kid, it's like you want to be like your own person. You know what I mean? So that's why I went by Pete. My dad goes by Peter. So I never liked being like, as I got older, I liked my name, but like as a kid, I was like, I always wish I had a different name to be like my own, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, I'm never going to name my kids after me. But now that I got older, I was like, it's actually like a pretty important name in the family, but I was like, done.
You hear people say that though. You hear people say, I wouldn't name my kid after me because I don't want to put like pressure on them. They have to be like me or something. I'm the other way around. I'm like, I worked hard for this name. My kid's not going to get credit for my name.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's going to be no Jordan Jr.
No, you're not getting any like overflow credit. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Get out there. Yeah, no, I, it's weird too though. Cause it's like my dad and I, like we have completely different social security numbers and everything. Like we get stuff mixed all the time. Like all the time.
Like, I've had do people that are usually named after each other have the same social security number?
It's just weird that it like a bill will like come to me.
Oh.
That is for him. And it's like it happens all the time.
I think your dad's stealing your identity and
that's
running up charges.
You should use that too. If some debt collector comes by, you can just be like, Peter, oh no, that's
you
my
need
that,
senior.
Yeah, that's my dad. Yeah.
There was a comedian. It might be Chad Daniels. I was listening to him. He told a story. Chad Daniels.
Yeah.
It's his dad did steal his identity. His dad was kind of really? Like early, but then he had all these credit card charges coming to him, and he had just stolen his son's identity and ran up charges.
Wow.
Yeah.
Releases a comedy special under his name.
That's crazy to think, like, family doing that. Like I mean, it's not two people named the same, but Dane Cook's brother was his manager,
right?
And stole millions from him. He sued him for millions. His own brother.
Like, I remember this?
That's crazy stuff to me. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Keep
keep that
keep
separate.
Family out of the business.
That's yeah. right. That's
right. I think it'd be weird too. Like when you hear like somebody's like wife is their manager, it's like, what are we doing? Like I don't know, man. Like I couldn't imagine mixing like business with, you know,
marriage. That part.
Yeah, that's, it just seems like
sounds stressful. A little bit. Sounds like even more stress than regular.
My wife has offered to do that. And I'm like, you have zero connections, but please book me gigs. Like,
my wife has too, actually.
I'll be your manager. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Man. I got sidetracked, though. I just wanted to bring up the Peter Jr. thing because I've been thinking about it ever since he said it, and I forgot.
Peter
but you know the reason why I do it? By the whole Pete Jr. thing. Like why yes, I dropped the last name.
I do.
I just got super parent. I'm crazy neurotic and I just got afraid like, you know, somebody will track me down, man, try to get me canceled. So I am a junior. So I just like dropped the last name. I was like, nobody's going to find me now.
Well, now people know your full name is Peter. So that's
yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Jordan.
Oh, wow.
Cats thanks, out of the
I
bag.
Didn't, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry. I should have thought before I spoke again, but didn't do that.
But it's such a stupid thing. Like, you know, as if yeah. somebody really wanted to find you, they could, you know, but in my mind, I was like one step ahead of the game.
I only know because JD does a joke about you. On
yeah.
Show.
Yeah. Yeah.
JD's a comedian. He'll never be on this podcast. <Just kidding. laughs> He's a local comedian, but he doesn't, at the time, now he doesn't work clean enough to.
Yeah. Maybe someday you have a change of heart. Maybe it'll
could happen.
Maybe he'll shape up a little bit,
you know?
Then there's people who just go by Junior. You ever met those
yeah,
people?
Yeah. That seems like a choice.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Would you ever just go by Junior?
Nah. My family calls me PJ.
PJ? Yeah. PJ?
Yeah, everybody calls me PJ. Yeah,
Pete
yeah.
Junior? PJ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just growing up.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, that's
what I was wondering.
If, that's what that would be.
I wonder if we were catching a sneak peek of the last name with that.
Yeah. No. It's a secret.
Yeah.
Well, here's something else I know about you, and we talked about this on our last Forgotten podcast.
That's right.
Not forgotten. Gone, but not forgotten.
Not forgotten.
Thank you.
You are a surfing man. A surfer.
Yeah, prior to being married with kids, man, that's all I do. I just blow my money on surf trips, you know? Like when I lived in California, you know, I was getting after it a lot. I lived in Hawaii for a little while. I spent a summer in Costa Rica, which is like, it is one of the funnest things in the world, by the way. Like, if nobody's done it, like, you've thought about getting into it, it is right next to, like, that's one thing I miss, the ocean all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I was there, but, like, I do love living in Utah, but that's the one thing that makes me go just like, man. Because my brother moved back to Hawaii, you know, and he's sending me pictures, and it just bums me out.
Ooh.
Like, Yeah.
So would you rather catch a perfect wave or have a joke land? What's
ooh.
Better?
Yeah. Be in the tunnel of laughter or the tunnel of water.
Okay. I'm gonna say the joke. The reason is because like I don't know how you guys write, but like for me, I have to just pay attention when something funny passes by because I cannot just sit down and like write jokes, mm-hmm. which seems insane. Like I have crazy imposter syndrome. So anytime I get a joke, I like convince myself I just got lucky. You know what I mean? It's a fluke and I got to come up with another one to convince myself the last one wasn't a fluke, but it never ends. It's just exhausting. So when I get one that goes boom in the room,
right,
that is such a good feeling because I feel like I like defied the odds. You know what I mean? Because in my mind, like I've always been this way. I'm like, a huge part of me is like, what am I doing? Like, there's been times where I've been walking up on stage where I'm like, what is happening? How am I here? Like, I'm not funny. This is, you know what I mean? Like, because I always have that.
Yeah.
So, like, when I get a new bit to connect clean, that there's nothing better than that.
Okay.
There is nothing better than that. Like, how much new material do you crank out in a year? Like, that you're happy with?
That I'm happy with?
That you're happy
I don't know
with.
About that
him or the audience.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you were to say, like, if you were to put a time on it, like 20 minutes?
Yeah, maybe, if I'm lucky. Because I realize a lot of my jokes, I'll add stuff to, but it's not like a new chunk, but it's a bit that, like, I did it 2 years ago, but it's way different and more elaborate now.
Yeah.
I don't know if that totally counts. But I wrote an hour, I'll never write again. That's kind of where I'm at.
Well, you've got the perfect hour.
I have the perfect hour. Why write more?
If I get 15 minutes in a year, I feel great.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
I feel killer because then you're basically coming up with a new headlining set every 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, but like I'll have years where like I'm only happy with like 8 minutes and I'm just like, I'm such a loser. What am I doing?
Pete, I'm realizing though, the way you write jokes is like surfing. You can't make the wave happen, but you know how to ride it when it comes.
You just gotta like.
What do you think of that, Taylor?
That's not bad.
Wow. Pretty good analogy.
Yeah, you just that's my whole like. I have to be paying attention, and it's something. Usually, I'm ranting or something like. But as something funny comes to mind, I hurry up and write it down. It's the worst, dude. You ever have something where it's like you're like you come up with a really good bit,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, I'll remember
and
it,
and then you have and that feeling.
It's gone later in the day. That's the worst because like getting a good one. What if that was your closer? You know what I mean? What if it was your closer?
You're making it so much worse. That's a joke I've forgotten. It probably would have been the best joke I've ever
written. That's where my mind goes.
That's how I felt when we lost your podcast, Pete.
That's true. That's what it felt like.
No, I tell you this. This is a parallel between surfing and stand-up, though, I think.
Well, like, we'll see if it's as good as the one I just did.
I learned this, man. Like, I think we're very fortunate to have this be like our hometown market, you know, because you'll regularly perform in front of 150, 200, you know, you get on the downtown shows, 320 people. Like, I noticed that when I would get on like a really small show, like, you know, you do some out of state something, every now and then you get one where you get 19 people, and that is a different muscle, man. It's like, mm-hmm. holy smokes, like with surfing, like a bigger wave is kind of scarier, you know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, it's this huge thing, but it's actually easier to ride. It's more stable. Sometimes comedy's like that, like where like the bigger crowd, it's like you have more chance of that laughter spreading. Where yes. when you have a little crowd, you kind of have to like build your momentum and like, you know, it's like pumping on that little wave. You have to create your own opportunities. Because I realized that I was like, that is a gap in my game, dude. Like where I made it a point, I was like, I need to start doing more shows where I'm being tested that way. You know what I mean?
Because
that is an uncomfortable feeling when you're like thinking like, here we go, about to kill it. And then it just, you know, you're flailing up there.
Yeah, yeah,
Pete
yeah.
and I were talking about that, and I told him that's why I usually like to do just smaller shows, like so I can flex that muscle more.
Yeah. Sure,
I like
sure.
to not sell a lot of tickets. Just like,
well, you capped the tickets at 15 heads, right?
Yeah, well, my fans just know like not to buy too many, so I don't usually have to cap it. It's usually kind of... 15 of them will go.
15, out of respect.
Let me ask you this, though, because, okay, so we're a couple of dry bar guys here.
A couple of dry bar guys.
A couple of dry bar fellas. So you're clean exclusively. Do you make it a point to write clean, or does that just happen to be how it goes? Do you ever come up with a bit that's like got some edge on it? You're like, I can't do that.
He has the mind of a child.
Very good.
Yeah, the truth is I just really don't know things about the world.
I'm just kidding.
I have some jokes that are dirtier that I'll just wait for my parents to die and then I'll do them.
Wow.
I don't want you to die.
If that was like 3 hours of material, that's the majority of your material. You're just banking for that.
I do have some jokes on shows where I know it's a little bit dirtier. Just because I know it will hit so much harder.
Sure.
I will dirty it up a little bit.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
The thing is, I'm doing cruises this summer, and you have a show that is a dirty show.
Yes.
And that's just going to really let loose.
Oh, that's going to be able to see.
A whole new Jordan.
I'm imagining he's wearing that, like a Hawaiian shirt that's like unbuttoned.
Listen.
Yep, the chain's coming out.
The chain is out.
For that one.
If you're running through the edgy set before you do the cruise tour, I want to get on that show because I have to see that.
I mean, I
will host that thing. That'll be great.
Starting here and just like knowing that's, I mean, just kind of where my mind went originally, but.
I'm not an exclusively clean comic. Like I just, you know, I write what I think is fun. The best advice I ever got, write what you think is funny, keep what they think is funny. You know what I mean? That way you're not pandering. You know what I mean? You're writing something that's true to you. So like I notice it whenever I get a clean bit. I'm like, yeah, that goes in the clean bucket, you know, but like, then I've got some that are on the total other side of it, you know? Like,
yeah.
I like all styles of comedy, you know, but you definitely need to have clean in your, you know, arsenal or you're going to
ruin it. For sure. Not even just in Utah, just like in general, if you want to be successful, a late night set's going to be a clean set, you know?
Yeah.
But before we get off surfing.
Surfing.
We're wondering if you could teach us some surfing lingo and teach our viewers at home some surfing lingo.
A kook. Oh, we were talking about this last time, I think. A kook is like we're talking about like the puka shell necklace. Uh-huh. I used to have one. That's a go-to kook move. Here's how you could tell a kook, like when we lived in Hawaii. By the way, I was this guy when I first showed up. So board shorts are designed that you could just like wear them like after you're done surfing. You could just wear them like shorts throughout the day, right?
Right.
So like you don't need to wear like boxers or like boxer briefs underneath your board shorts. You're not supposed to. So when you'd see dude with his boxers popping out the top with the puka shell necklace, you're like, ah, it's a kook, dude. Like that was a go-to. Like, like this, that's referred to as Shaka.
And, Shaka, hang Shaka. Loose?
Yes, hang loose Shaka. Yeah. And,
what does it mean to hang loose?
Just like overall lifestyle. You know one that that you get in Hawaii is a dakine.
They say dakine.
But I was trying to figure out what dakine like meant forever. Dakine means everything, dude. Like they'll just throw it in like I had this local guy that I'd go surfing with, this Hawaiian dude. Super cool guy, fearless. You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. And like there was certain. You go up on the North Shore. That's where it's like cranks, dude. Like during the winter, it's firing on the
cranks,
North Shore. Like,
which is another surfing term.
Nah, that's just like, you know, just a general term.
That's an engineering term.
Yeah, but there's certain breaks where it was like
breaks.
Okay,
sorry.
But there are certain breaks that was like, you know, it was just known for being, you know, a pretty scary wave, you know what I mean?
Right.
And he wanted to go out to sunset. So the way the sunset breaks is there's an outer reef and then there's the inner reef. And when the inner reef is firing, dude, like, I mean, well, if the outer reef is going off, it's going to hit the inner reef. And then when it gets there, that's where it barrels. So like, I remember paddling out and I saw a guy coming down the barrel. Both his hands were up and his fingertips were touching the ceiling of the barrel. I was like, holy smokes. But he hit me up and he's like, you know, hey, let's go surf, bro. And I was just like, he's like, let's go up sunset. I'm like, I saw the surf report, dude. I was like, I don't think I should be going up for that big. He's like, oh, it's okay, bro. It's dakine. And I was just like, okay.
Dakine.
Apparently, yeah. You just throw it out there like, ah, it's dakine, bro. I'm like, all right. And it was insane. I don't think I should have been out there that day. But they'll throw out dakine for everything. Like,
But in that sense, it meant like no big deal.
It meant like no big deal, but then they could use it in a different other, like completely different context. You know what I mean?
Is it like it's good? It's like it's good or something like that?
Yeah, but like they could also use it like it is what it is, you know? Like it can kind of be anything.
I kind of like that. Because like what if you would have gone to him and like, that was crazy. You said it was dakine. He's like, yeah, I said it was dakine.
Yeah, like
it meant crazy.
I always thought like if I did like an open mic in Hawaii, like this was a joke I thought about when I lived in Hawaii. Like if I did an open mic in Hawaii and they like, you know, you're in college and they had like a test, it was like fill in the blank and you just put dakine all the way down, the teacher would be like, he's got a point.
Do you have words for like it's a big wave, like a big mama or something? Like
No.
Oh man.
Or it could be anything.
It is.
Oh, there's
the big mama. There's I'm gonna use mama. That though. Oh, I'm waiting for that big mama.
I mean, just me as a person sitting on a beach and I saw a big wave. I'm like, wow, that's a big mama out there.
Yeah. Jordan the kook just sitting on the.
Me showing up, you guys
trying to blend in. Hey Jordan, why haven't you gotten out there yet? Oh, it's you know, I'm waiting for a big mama.
That big mama.
No, big mama. Just the kind, you know.
Jordan, you're wearing Skechers.
Yeah, kook life.
That's not a good thing, Jordan.
That was fun.
And we're gonna hit that. We're gonna hit a big mama pretty soon.
we're gonna close this pod with a big mama. Hashtag big mama moment. In your special, you do a great bit about how the tricks rabbit, it's messed up. They never let him have tricks. The whole thing.
And you talk about not, you know, bringing change, not, you know, not talking about real issues on
this
stage.
Is one of the issues.
Yeah, I like to just go to the hard hitting issues. Yeah.
So we were kind of thinking about, are there any other cereal mascots who just are berated and get a rough go? We're trying to think. The Trix Rabbit gets a bad one. Are there any others?
No, he's the only one. Because all the rest of them were, they were like celebrated for it. But like the Trix Rabbit, it's like, that's what I say. It's his only purpose. And they just would never give him one. You know what they did? They actually did this. They did a commercial, and Trix Rabbit commercial, he got a hold of the ball, and it was like, and then they paused it. They're like, to be continued, they're like, vote if you think he should be able to eat the Trix.
Oh, I remember this.
And they overwhelmingly said, just give him the Trix.
No way.
And it was one of the most satisfying moments of my childhood to see him just polish off that ball.
He actually got to eat
it. He finally got to eat it, man. But that like legit
did he
drove
just
me
pass
insane.
Away? Did it just like, it overwhelmed his body and brain?
I think so. But like, yeah, dude, but that's the thing. Like, Fonicle Offee said to me, he was like, he goes, I like your comedy because I could tell it comes from an angry place. I think
when you're getting worked up over cereal commercials,
yeah,
you are in an angry place.
I got a million pet peeves, dude. Like, but like when I first started dating my wife, she was like,
we call them Pete Peeves.
Yeah, that's right.
Pete Peeves.
But she wasn't like totally ready for it because she was like, geez, dude. Because I like gripe a lot. But like, I'm actually a pretty happy guy. I like to gripe. Like, I got a million pet peeves. I like to just be like, look at this. Can you believe this?
Yeah.
Like, and if I can't do that, I feel like I'm going to have an aneurysm. You know what I mean? Like, I want to just get it out, man.
All right, Pete, let me ask you this.
Yeah, fire away.
Who's the most overrated cereal mascot?
Is that Frog still doing his thing? Is he just faded away, right?
Is that Frog? Frog Smacks Frog.
The Honey Smacks?
No, Honey Smacks.
Yes.
Honey Smacks. The Smacks Frog.
You didn't like him, huh? That's an interesting choice. To me, he's a peripheral mascot to me.
Here's also the thing is, like, think about any animal in your cereal or touching your cereal. Frog is probably at the bottom of the list of things. Like, I'd rather have a mammal touching my cereal.
This guy's really anti-amphibian, dude. Don't get him going on amphibians. He'll go crazy.
Think about it, though. Slimy,
yeah,
it would ooze. Salmonella.
It would ooze.
It's like having a fish as your mascot. It's like, what does a fish know about cereal?
I mean, amphibians are a little different than fish. Let's not complete.
Yeah, they're actually the closest thing to a fish, besides a fish.
See, I think Tony the Tiger's a little overrated.
I was thinking about
they're
that.
They're great.
Yeah,
what do
you know
do?
Who you
what
remind you me of? Tony the Tiger.
Oh, come on. Just because I'm orange and lovable? I don't like Tony the Tiger. Taylor, you were going off about that honeybee earlier.
The Cheerio guy. Well, here's the thing about the Cheerio bee. You ever seen that Cheerio bee give more than a drop of honey in the Cheerios?
He's stingy, man.
Have you ever seen?
Just, yeah. Come on, man.
How much honey he's got?
Give me a drizzle.
Dripping, glistening. He could give you a drizzle. He could stir it around in there.
Yeah.
But when you eat Cheerios,
one little drop. Going back to the hive where they have ounces upon ounces.
No wonder Cheerios are flavorless. That honey wand, man.
Also, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Sorry, we did a lot of cereal research before this episode.
Yeah.
Taylor was too young to remember this, but when I tell you, what was Applejack's advertising campaign? What was their main thing? Do you know what I'm talking about?
They don't taste like apples, but they don't taste like apples.
It's an insane advertising campaign. He remembers the younger kids. They had like a Rastafarian piece of cinnamon.
Yeah, there's
cinnamon.
Cinnamon for the winnamon.
How did I miss this? That's amazing.
It was awesome. But apparently they've gotten rid of the Rastafarian cinnamon guy. Now it's just a regular old Caucasian cinnamon.
I had Taylor look up commercials for the, because he didn't believe me.
Pretty hilarious.
The Apple Jacks.
Yeah.
And really, they were what I remembered. It's just somebody going, why do you eat those? They're Apple Jacks. They don't taste like apple. And the person goes, they're good. That's like.
I remember
interesting
that,
interesting marketing. I don't know what that is.
They don't taste like apple, though. They are right.
No.
I like Apple Jacks a lot. But I don't.
Are they still on the shelf?
Oh, they're still on the shelf.
See, I got kids, and that's one that we never. We never go for that one.
What's What are the go tos at home now?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, so good.
That's good.
Classic.
It's just eating. You're eating candy for breakfast.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's so good. When it gets a little bit mushy.
Yeah.
Do you like
that?
Yeah. Still some crunch.
You're telling me you like Cap'n Crunch.
Cap'n Crunch also is that one feels even less healthy than Cinnamon Toast
Crunch. It's like somebody had a great bit about Cap'n Crunch where it's like now you can just get the berries.
Yeah,
but like when we were kids, berries. We had to eat all of like the non-berry pieces until you got just the berries, and then it was just this purple, and they were soggy, and he's like, and it built character. I love that bit, man.
You know, they also do just the other pieces too. They do completely
berries.
No berries.
What kind of a psycho?
I don't know. I don't even know what those taste like really, but they're better. At least they're better than the Lucky Charms. That, you know, the Lucky Charms equivalent.
So I'm going to get my hot take right now. I like just plain Cap'n Crunch better than berries or all berries.
Yeah.
You like the mix?
No, I like the plain. Just the original is just the yellow pieces.
That's what we're talking about right now.
I thought you said...
Right?
I thought you said that you don't know what that tastes like.
What's the flavor of those things? They're just sugar,
crunch.
Right?
The flavor's
yeah.
And they're just sugary...
Yeah.
They're very sugary. Yeah, I think corn is the flavor.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
But it's good, man.
But that's what he's talking about. That's what we're talking about.
That's
insane.
That? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my favorite one.
Really?
Yeah. I like the berries all right, but I actually just like that.
Oh. See, I was all about, like, I would eat around the berries until I had just a soggy slop of.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, it was
just
never
some corn, just some.
But I understand it. And I like Oops All Berries, too. But. This makes me question. So does he? Because remember the commercials when Oops All Berries came out. Do you remember?
Wait, which one was the Oops All Berries? What were we talking about?
Oops All Berries.
Oh, oops!
It was an accident, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was.
That's right. That's
it's Captain Crunch. Oops!
Yes.
All berries. Yeah.
Which that's a very interesting thing. That's the only cereal title that's like we messed up.
Yeah.
There's the Uh-Oh Oreo too.
Oh, there's Uh-Oh Oreo?
Yeah, not a cereal, but a mistake all the same.
What's the mistake on that one?
I think it's outside is the vanilla, and then the inside is chocolate cream.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Machines will do that sometimes.
Yeah.
But when those came out,
happy
there was a commercial where like his factory, he like pulled the wrong lever.
Yeah.
But is he a guy that runs a factory, or is he a captain of a ship? What is he?
I don't know, but I actually just thought of a hot take that I have.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I have a hot take. Okay. AI in art. AI in art. Okay. Here's my hot take. A lot of people say like, oh, AI won't be able to come up with like, they won't be able to write a joke like we can. Yes, it will. It will. And it'll be, you know, you look at it, when you first see it, you'll go like, whoa, that is surprisingly good.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's eventually going to get to a point where you'll see a funny, I think. I may not know what I'm talking about, but it'll eventually get to a point where you see a joke and it's like, oh, that's really funny. It's like, oh, an AI made it. It's like, oh, of course, it's, you know. But like when you hear a person came up with it, like when I watch Bergazzi, to know he came up with that, it's impressive. Like, and I want to be impressed.
Yeah.
If when you see somebody tank at a mic.
Yeah.
This is going to sound harsh. They should. The idea that an AI can just give you a killer hour, and that person can go do that and be funny. To me, that's a hack. Like I think if we get to a place where people will just have AI give them an hour and then just go say it, that is a sad place in comedy.
Have you had? I've had AI not write jokes for me, but I just want to see what it would write.
Right.
Sure, I told it to write some Fitbit jokes.
Yeah.
Sure, there's some similar beats as to ones that
but
I wrote.
But that's what I'm like. It's.
I didn't steal it.
It's almost like when, and I could be wrong about this. I could be totally wrong. But I think like when somebody buys a painting, knowing like, oh, this painter, this is their style. This is how they see the world. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and it has more value versus like, oh, we just freaking printed this thing on a.
Yeah. And I do think what's going to happen is comedy that's more like, story very personal, like an AI wouldn't write because it's so specific to you. I think maybe that will get more because it's true. AI can write
Jordan Macon type comedy. You're saying?
I'm just saying my time's about to come. no, I just feel like people are going to start using AI I mean, I work at university and students are using AI to write essays and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, I mean, I think it's fine. Like, if you're using AI to, like, punch up your bio, you know what I mean? But, like, as far as, like, your actual jokes.
No, it's messed up. I think it's going to happen.
I think it should 100% come from you. Like, I think you should present it that way. Like, it's almost like with hip hop, some people will, like, make it a point to say, I have no ghostwriters. This is all for me.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. some of them do have ghostwriters. You know what I mean? Like, yes. Where they're just out there doing stuff.
Especially the ones that say they don't have ghostwriters.
That's right.
That's why I open every joke with that. But, AI did not write this.
But I do think it's different. Like, because, like, I was thinking about this with music. You can go out there, like, have you heard this song? It's Shaboozy. You know that song? That everybody in the club getting tips.
Okay.
He did a remake of that, a remix of it, but put it in a country song.
Okay.
And it's incredible. It's number one in the country right now.
Oh, really?
For country music. And it's amazing. But that's the thing. Music's different. Because, like, you can do a cover and it can make you famous. You know, All Along the Watchtower was not originally by Jimi Hendrix. That was Bob Dylan, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I mean? But music's different in that way, where it's like, you want to hear the voice, or you want to, like, you know, it's their voice that's more that, like, Whitney Houston, she would just buy songs, you know?
Yeah.
But with a comedian, it is you. It is you. It's like, that's your creation. Like, because you could give somebody your routine. At first, they may be a little clunky, but you can get them up to speed where they can deliver it and, you know, get just as good of an effect. So I think if somebody puts in to get their jokes from AI that can't do them on their own is a straight up hack.
I tell you what, I'm firing all my writers after our conversation.
and people have been asking you to do that for a while.
Though I will say this, though. I did, so I took my bio, because my brother, he's just like, dude, just take your bio, go to ChatGPT, and just say, write this better, and put it in quotes.
Yeah.
And you watch in an instant. Boom. It spits it back out, and I was just like, oh. Notably better.
That's great. Well, Pete, I think we're about at the end of our day here.
All right.
Is there anything you want to say to the Dry Bar fans, audience, before we get out of here?
I'm on tour. All my shows are posted at PeteJRComedy.com, and adding new dates all the time.
Very cool, man. Right. Thanks for being on the pod.
Yeah, man.
I think we lost one, but I think this was a better one. Last one was really good, but I think this was
better podcast. You know, if we need to run it back again, I'm sure it'll be even better.
All right, let us know when your next big life event is, and we'll
play. All right, Jordan, you want to take us out?
Yeah, thanks for watching and listening. Please like and subscribe. Leave a nice little comment if you could, too, and we'll see you. I forget what you say at the end, Taylor. I don't like saying goodbye. It makes me sad.
it makes me sad too.
Yeah.
But this has been the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast. And we'll see you guys next week.
Farewell.
All right, bye guys.